We're about 2.5 months away from the November general election with two big statewide races, the race for governor and U.S. Senate. We're seeing a lot of advertisements for these campaigns, but so far, no debates between the candidates. Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lesenberry is here. Jack, fill us in. What's going on?
Well, it's always a question of debates. I mean, they become sort of institutionalized, but usually front runners don't want to have them because they give their challenger a shot at things. And except if you look at the history of presidential debates, the first one ever was in 1960, and John F. Kennedy is commonly believed to have so outclassed Richard Nixon he won the election. And that spooked everybody from having debates for a long time. And the next ones that happened in 1976 when President Ford was behind Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter was confident. Both felt they had nothing to lose. But this year in Michigan, you can sort of understand Governor Snyder, Rick Snyder, not wanting to debate Mark Schauer. The polls are close, but most people know Snyder better than they do Schauer, and he doesn't want to give Schauer an advantage and make himself more known and perhaps more appealing to the public. The puzzling thing is the race for Senate, where Terry Lynn Land is all the margins vary, but virtually every poll shows that she's behind and falling further behind Gary Peters. And normally in a case like that, Peters would not want debates, Land would, but here it seems to be exactly the opposite because Terry Lynn Land got sort of doesn't do very well with the press, and she hasn't done very well in being questioned in public settings. She had a very famous sort of meltdown at Mackinac Island in May, and she sort of avoided the press and anything like a debate ever since. But, you know, these things can change, and I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up having some form of debate in both races.
Well, I know that Land says she looks forward to what she calls joint appearances. Not sure what that means, and we know that Gary Peters has said yes to 3 debate invitations, but the idea of joint appearances, it's kind of hard to know what she means by that.
Well, that's an interesting, glad you mentioned that, because the so-called presidential debates, for example, are not really debates in a high school or college debating sense. They're really joint press conferences. We have both candidates on stage, and the press asks them questions, and they respond and maybe do a little back and forth with each other. In the case of the presidential cycle, especially the primaries, we almost certainly have too many debates now. During the primary season, there are dozens and dozens of debates with all these candidates on stage, and to the point where everybody gets sick of them. But I think you can argue, and I would argue, that the public has a right to see the major candidates for major offices, and there should be some debates on probably both commercial and public television for races like governor and senator.
But I wonder, what are we as viewers really gaining when we know that they're so coached and so rehearsed? And as you point out, they're really not debates. They're sparring with speeches.
Well, of course, and it's very interesting. If you look at the Kennedy-Nixon debates, the people who heard them on the radio overwhelmingly thought Nixon had won them because he was trying to make points in a sort of debating sense and convey information. But everybody almost who saw them on TV thought that Kennedy won them because he was better looking and had more style and more flair, and Nixon was never very good on television. But there have been some debates when candidates have made mistakes, whether rightly or wrongly, really caused them to be identified with that mistake. Gerald Ford in 1976 said there was no communist domination of Eastern Europe, and it took him a long time to retract that. George Bush the first apparently misunderstood a question, and somebody asked him about the gross national product or about the economy, and he answered it in the wrong way. And of course, people, the seminal moment is Dan Quayle, who was in a vice presidential debate, and his Democratic rival said, "You're no Jack Kennedy." Now, Quayle ended up getting elected vice president in that election, but that was the end of his career as far as any further national ambitions, because he looked like a deer caught in the headlights, and everybody sort of felt that. So, but also, you know, you want to see whether these people can sort of come up with answers and test questions, and I think it's legitimate. If you ask somebody, what would you do if there was a cataclysmic flood like the one in Detroit, what kind of aid would you do, or how would you fix the roads? I think those are things that the voters sometimes can glean some information about what kind of governor this person would be.
And I suspect that the optics of the fact that I want this very crucial job, and yes, I will stand up here before the voters and debate my running, the competitor, is important. It's important to send that out.
In some cases, I don't know about Michigan, but there have been some cases in some states where candidates refused to debate, and then the other candidate would debate an empty chair. And in some cases, that has been devastating to the candidate who didn't show up.
When you look at, you did comment how Terry Lynn Land has certainly had a problem with the media. And in fact, at the time of the Mackinac meltdown, I remember you put it at the time, not ready for prime time. Gary Peters, very smooth and very good at that. Looking at Rick Snyder and Mark Schauer, who strengths and weaknesses of both in a debate setting, what do you think?
Well, that's a very good question. Mark Schauer is sort of an unknown. Mark Schauer, neither of these men would win a John F. Kennedy charisma contest. They both have some pluses and minuses. Schauer is not a man. He's a smart, he's a nice and likable man, but he doesn't fill a room. He doesn't overpower everybody with his presence. And he's not the world's best speaker. However, Governor Rick Snyder, and this is not meant as a political comment at all, has one of the worst speaking voices in politics today. People call him Kermit the Frog. He's not a good speaker. He gets tangled up in his words and tangled up in his rhetoric. So it's quite conceivable one of them might make some kind of a gaffe or underwhelm people with their presence. But it's always easier for the challenger because the incumbent has a record that he has to defend. And any incumbent has either made mistakes or had difficult situations. And so incumbents have a harder time in debates than challengers. That doesn't mean they always lose, but what Governor Snyder doesn't want, you see, if you put Snyder right now, he's the governor, the Republican sort of, where they're coming from, their sort of strategy is here's this little challenger, and the governor is busy running the state, and he can't really be bothered with this stuff. But the moment they're both on the stage together, they come across as equals.
What's your prediction, Jack Lessenberry? Will we see debates in either of these statewide races?
I think you will. I think in the governor's race, at the minimum, you'll see one debate on public television and one debate before the Detroit Economic Club. In the Senate race, I just simply don't know. There weren't any debates in the Senate race last time. The candidates couldn't agree on the format. But I think that if we get out there, and if it's October, and Terry Lynn Land is 10 points behind, I think her folks may just push her into a debate. There's also the game, one other thing to consider, is the game of lowered expectations. For example, Sarah Palin, in her debate, when she was running for vice president, her debate with Joe Biden, she didn't do very well, but by that time, people were so negative on her, and there have been so many negative Sarah Palin is an idiot stories, that she looked good just by not falling flat on her face. So if Terry Lynn Land comes out there and anything like comes close to holding her own with Gary Peters, and I should say, too, that Gary Peters, the joke was that if you asked them what time it was, both of them, Terry Lynn Land would think very hard and finally say daytime, and Gary Peters would give you an hour and a half lecture on how to make a watch. Gary Peters sometimes comes across as being very pedantic and giving people too much detail, and so there's no... It's certainly not a sure thing that he's going to knock it out of the park either. And the history of politics is a and political debates is a history of people surprising people. So I hope for the sake of the voters, as well as us in the media, we do have debates.
And that's Michigan Radio's political analyst, Jack Lessenberry.